Hello and welcome to another edition of Eight More Miles, the Louisville Metro Council District 8 podcast. This is Councilman Brandon Cohn. It's Friday, February the 8th, and our guest today is Kelly Deering-Smith from the Louisville Water Company. Kelly is the Vice President of Communications and Marketing, and we are thrilled to have her. So, Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you. This is a great way to end my day.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's a fun... I've told people before, this is literally my favorite hour of the entire month. I really like it, and to do it on a Friday afternoon, it's not the last thing I'll do today, but I'm really glad to be here with
you. Good. Thanks for having me.
So, the Louisville Water Company, I find very fascinating. Mm-hmm. I think probably a lot of people in the community don't really understand all the details about it. Mm-hmm. They sort of know it exists. They pay their bills. They, depending on how cognizant and thankful they are of the water that they use every day, they know it's part of their lives. But since I came into Metro Council, I've been dealing with the Louisville Water Company as a partner in government. Mm-hmm. In fact... Even before I came into office, as I was getting ready to succeed a legendary councilman, Tom Owen, and was nervous and getting ready, and how am I going to get everything organized for day one, the Louisville Water Company called me and said, we have sort of bad news. We're going to have to close the intersection of Bardstown Road and Eastern Parkway. We're not sure for how long, and it's going to be a big construction project called
welcome
the Eastern
Parkway.
Yeah, it's a welcome to... So that was the Eastern Parkway project. Mm-hmm. And so before we sort of talk about anything else, can you talk a little bit about what that was, maybe bring people back to January of 2017 and what that project was all about?
Yeah, so the Eastern Parkway project is actually still ongoing. It is the largest water main replacement program in Louisville Water's history. We're a very old water utility. We started in 1860. And of course, you move water by pipes that are underground. So we have this network of pipes. I like to call them the interstate highway. And the biggest pipes, which are the interstates, are these pipes that are 48, 60 inches in diameter, 5 feet in diameter, and they carry a tremendous amount of water. The Eastern Parkway pipe was put in the ground around 1928, 1930, just as the city was starting to grow. And this pipe has lived a great life until it broke around three times. It's a unique project because we just can't dig up Eastern Parkway and put a new pipe in. That's not going to happen. So through some clever engineering, we were able to come up with a plan to essentially put a smaller pipe inside the old pipe.
Slip line,
you know the term. And it's worked really well, but it has been a massive communication effort because not only do people like your residents live in the council district and see the project, but thousands of people use it to commute. This goes through U of L, it goes through picturesque neighborhoods, Bardstown Road. We could not pick a more vibrant area of the city to do this project. So it's not only the largest engineering project, it's the largest communication effort we've ever done. And I'm really proud of how we've worked with folks like yourself and other stakeholders to make this as painless as possible. I'm not saying there haven't been problems or there haven't been bumps in the road. There have. It's a three-year project. And so we're entering this year the last phase of that project, which is actually closer to the Crescent Hill plant. So you'll see us working later this year in the Stilts-Grinstead area. It won't be that big of a project. But the important thing is when we're done, one of the biggest water mains in our system that is so critical to delivering water will have a new pipe for another 100 years. And so that's a unique part about our job. People think about the faucet, you know, magically appears. You don't really think about it. But there's two parts to what we do. Mm-hmm. There's making the water and delivering the water.
Right.
And delivering it is just as important.
So will phase three actually come down Grinstead and actually cross over Lexington Road back into my area of District 8 along
Cherokee
Parkway?
You might have
Cherokee
a little bit of that touching your area. A lot of that work, though, is going to be on the Grinstead Avenue side because that pipe eventually connects to the Crescent Hill plant.
Okay.
And so we did this project in three phases because we couldn't shut it down because we need it in the summer. And you may have noticed that we've only done the project in the winter months, and that's because our water demand is lower. You don't need as much water or use as much water in the winter. So it's been really easy to do that project between, say, November and April when the water demand goes a little bit lower and we can take that pipe out of service because we have other big pipes that can pick up that load. We have what's called a redundant system.
But so phase one was the stretch of Eastern Parkway in District 8 in the Highlands area from Cherokee Park, basically, to Goss Avenue, Poplar Level.
Correct.
And that's over and done with.
That is done. So phase
two. You've done the construction. You've repaired whatever parts of the road you needed to repair.
Yes.
the main is working perfectly.
It's awesome.
The thing
yes.
worked, and so the rest of the project is not really impacting us anymore.
No, only you may see it if you're in the area. So phase two has really been centered around the University of Louisville's campus. We were able to slip line part of that pipe, but part of it we put a brand new pipe in the ground. So that one's been a little tricky.
Yeah.
And now phase three will be closer to the Crescent Hill plant. Actually, most, I think the majority of it is in Councilman Hollander's district.
Gotcha. So, you know,
you're in the clear.
We had a scare. I had a scare at the beginning. Construction was really not that bad. I think some people actually were confused because KYTC was doing that bridge repair on Eastern Parkway at the same time, and it lasted a lot longer, and they thought that was the water company. But my experience with Eastern Parkway project, not just the communication side, but the actual delivery of the engineering and the construction was great. And so I thought, okay, great.
Well, good.
We are done with the Louisville Water Company for 4 years.
No.
But then we have another big project that I'll ask you about. This is lead service line replacements.
Right.
Talk a little bit about what that is and where you're doing it across the city or not, and specifically what's going on in the Highlands. A lot of people... might have this going on their street or in their neighborhood and not really understand exactly what it is.
Right.
But go ahead and tell us about it.
So first and foremost, your drinking water, when it leaves our treatment plant, does not contain lead. Louisville has one of the best, highest water quality in the United States. We balance the water chemistry at the plant to make sure that it doesn't pick up things as it travels through pipes and plumbing. But until around the 1950s, water systems like Louisville would use a lead service line to connect to the property. And so we had about 76,000 of these lead service lines that we installed. In the 1980s, Louisville Water decided to start replacing those lines. And we are now in the last year of our project to eliminate all of our lead service lines. We're down to less than 1,000.
Great.
So what's been happening in the Highlands over the last 20 years is replacing lead service lines. And where are they at? They're in the older parts of our city. A lot of them are contained inside the Waterson Expressway. But we have some pockets outside as well. Because again, think of how the city grew.
Mm-hmm.
If your house was built after 1950, chances are you do not have a Louisville Water lead service line. I can't verify your property line, probably not, but chances are you don't have one from us. So where we're at now is we're in the last stage of that project. And what that means is it's not sometimes an entire street we have to replace lead service lines. It could be one house here, one house three streets down. It's a very personal project because you're going to hear from us before we do the work.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear from us during the work, and you're going to hear from us right after the work because you have to flush your water lines after we do that project. So our inspectors are on site. You'll hear from us a lot. The other thing that makes these projects a little tricky right now is we do a lot of this work sometimes in February and March, and it takes sometimes a couple months to go back and do the restoration. We have to make sure that the paving is back on schedule with Metro.
That.
And that's a whole other conversation. But I think it's really important for customers to understand with the lead service line replacements, we're doing this to maintain water quality.
Of course.
The other thing that Louisville Water has, though, with this project is when we're at your house, we're going to tell you if you have a lead service line. So there's a pipe that goes from our where we end into your house. And if we notice that that pipe is lead, then we're going to help you replace that pipe. We'll offer you up to $1,000 to match if to replace the line. And if you don't have the funds yourself, we actually have a foundation that will kick in that money.
Okay.
So it's really important to us to minimize the risk. And that's what that project's about.
So is there were four big sort of projects in the Highlands area, in the District 8 area. Do you know, is all the actual lead service line replacement, is that part totally done?
And, no.
No, okay.
No, so there are two projects that are, I think, lingering over from last year that we're still finishing. And then there will be some pockets of project work this year as well. So before that work ever begins, and it really won't begin until the spring, the customers will get an individual communication. Your office will get a communication on what we're doing as well. We don't like to surprise people. We want them to know we're coming.
Right. I live over in Tyler Park, and so I guess I was part of what was called the Windsor Place area project.
Probably.
And I got the information in my house. I had to flush the lines. Now, you know, I don't know if I flushed the lines for all 30 days, day and night.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I followed the rules 100%. So
right.
I did the best I could. I'm sure most people had the same experience. But it seems like a lot of the lead work was lead removal work was done there. The four projects are called sort of the Bardstown Road area project, the Glen Mary Mm-hmm. Avenue Area Project and the Hawthorne Avenue Area Project. And those aren't just streets. There's sometimes lots of streets. Do you know which of the projects are any of the four of them completely done
so
in terms
Glen
of
Mary
the
is one that we're still working on.
Okay, in the Cherokee Triangle neighborhood.
Yes, yes. And I'd have to go back and check on the others. But okay. Yeah. But, you know, that's interesting because sometimes on those lead projects, it can be deceiving. We could have the whole street with lead service lines and we're going in and replacing. Or you could have two homes. And the neighbors are looking, going, well, wait a minute, you're working two houses down. You're not at my house. You as a customer can actually check if you have a lead service line from the Louisville Water Company. If you go onto our website and you have your account number, you type in the account number, it will tell you whether or not that the if the Louisville Water line is lead.
Okay. So it sounds like you have a little bit more work to do for the actual pipe replacement. And I guess it's the winter and construction stop now. Do you know when it'll resume?
We will start resuming our work in April.
And the goal is to wrap up all the removal at least
2020.
Next
year. By the beginning of next year.
I mean just in the Highlands area.
By the beginning of next year, when we sit down and do this podcast again next year, I should be able to tell you all of the lead service lines are gone in your district.
Okay. Most of them are already.
They are.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're down to the hard parts. Now, these are the really tricky ones because, again, you can't just go in and do the whole street.
Gotcha.
You do here, you move two streets over. It takes a lot longer. But yeah, so you'll see us a lot probably till October.
Okay.
And then we're done.
And I mean, you've made really good progress so far.
Have.
Except you have not done any of the paving back yet. And I'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
But you've completed a substantial amount of the actual removal.
Yes.
And so at the same time, when it's construction season again, and you're going to be doing some of the pipe removal, Public Works, I think, and you can explain exactly, is going to be going back and resurfacing and repaving either entire streets in many cases, big chunks of streets in other cases, and then doing some other more patchwork kind of repairs. So if you have one of those, how big are those cuts? Do you know?
Okay,
like
I'm not the mathematician or the distance person at the water company, so I'm holding out my hands.
Right.
I'm going to say it's like 5 to 6 feet, depending on where we're at.
So if you have one of those streets that has several different
we'll be back.
6 foot
a metro
by
will
four
be back.
Foot you know, shapes cut out in front of your house, that's a good indicator that your street's
absolutely
going to be paved.
Yeah.
And just so folks know, the way that works now is that Louisville Water does not actually do the paving.
Correct.
You help basically send the funding over to Metro Public Works. We go through our regular paving contractors and our regular sort of schedules, and we'll handle the paving.
Absolutely. And I have to say, from a customer standpoint, and I think from my standpoint where I work at Louisville Water, sometimes the restoration is the most frustrating part of the projects we do, especially if we do work in October, November, or December. And you cannot do asphalt when it's below freezing.
Right.
And so that's so frustrating for customers to say, you were here 2 months ago. I am waiting. Where are you? We have a great partnership with Metro, and we actually are able to save money by using Metro's contract for paving. So what we do is, as we do these projects, we hand them over to Metro and say, these are the areas where we've worked. And then Metro will fit them into their paving schedule. Over the last couple of years, I think we've really improved our communication to the customer to let them know we'll be back.
Yeah.
Because I always try to put myself in the customer's mind. It's so easy for us to just assume that people know what we're doing. Well, no, they don't. And so that constant communication is critically important. So if we did a project in your neighborhood on your street last November, December, and you're still waiting, Metro should be there this spring to fix it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, construction is obviously a little bit of an inconvenience or sometimes an eyesore, or, you know, it makes for rough driving conditions on your street. But when I learned about this, first of all, you need to have your lead service line removed. So, I mean, it's not really, it shouldn't be negotiable. This is something that has to be done, and we should be glad that this even minimal health risk is going to be totally eliminated.
Absolutely.
But as I wrote about and talked about, to me, this is a huge windfall for paving, frankly, because Metro government, you know, we do not have the ability to pave as many streets as we'd like to every year. And by virtue of Louisville Water's timing for this, coming in and having to make so many repairs at this time, we're going to have something like 26 additional streets paved, either in whole or in part, because you all are doing the work right now. So this is really, you know, once the pain is gone, we're really making out great. In some cases, my own street, Rosewood Avenue, I think is going to be paved. It wasn't going to be paved this year or next year or the year after, according to Metro's schedule, unless you all came in and did the work. So it's really a bonus for us in a lot of ways.
Well, and sometimes I guess that is the hidden benefit of construction that a lot of us don't think about is, and really, I want to make sure that if Louisville Water Company is on your street or in your neighborhood working, we like to leave it better than what we found it. I mean, so if we can help with some improvements, just like with Eastern Parkway, that's really important to us. We want to be a good neighbor.
Yeah, and I think you are. So those are the only current Louisville. Those are the only Louisville Water Company projects I think that are going on in my area right now. Is that correct?
You're good.
Are there any others on the horizon?
No surprises.
Because as soon as this one's
that
over,
I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
No.
Well, then let's just zoom out for a minute. And talk a little bit about the Louisville Water Company, but also just about you.
I mean,
we sort of dove right in here. Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to the Louisville Water Company. You've been there now for almost...
This is 20 years for me.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Of course, I started when I was 10, right?
Right. So tell us a little bit about yourself first and coming to the water company, and let's talk about the company.
Sure. So I am not a native Louisvillian. I actually grew up in Eastern Kentucky on a dairy tobacco farm.
Where in Eastern Kentucky?
Fleming County. So Flemingsburg near the Maysville-Moorhead area. I went to college at Eastern Kentucky University. I have a journalism degree, and I thought television was going to be my career forever. So I bounced all over the state, worked several different places, landed here at WHAS-TV, where my husband also worked at the time. And I always said whenever somebody fed my child breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it was time to find a new profession. Mm-hmm. And I was in management. I was never home. And I thought, gosh, I just want to do something else. I want to be known as a mom, not just a career person. So the Louisville Water Company had a new job. And this was before the internet. I had no idea really what the Louisville Water Company did. I couldn't Google it.
You could have guessed part of it.
I guess they made water, but I really didn't know what to ask in the interview. So I was so lucky that I got the job. And my first task at the Louisville Water Company was go out and find community partnerships. Just continue to elevate the brand. And so that was 20 years ago. I'm still here. And my department has really grown in our footprint. So it's been a great career for me. I have to admit, I did not think I would stay this long, but I drank the Kool-Aid, I drank the water, so to speak, and here I am.
Yeah, well, I will say your department growing is such a good thing
because
so much about, you know, making a city work and getting all the stakeholders on the same page, whether it's citizens or it's government agencies or utility partners, private sector partners, is all about communication.
No, it really
and coordination.
Is. It really
and,
is.
You know, without taking a dig at any other utilities or anybody else, I wish that we had the level of communication expertise that we have with the water company, because I work with all of you all and you are the best.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I tell people at the Louisville Water Company, I tell stories. I don't issue statements. I like to think that I use my journalism skills now more than I ever do, because really what we're doing is we're telling you a story about what we do. You mentioned at the very beginning, a lot of people probably take us for granted, and that's because when is the last time you went more than a day without water service? When is the last time you went more than a day without your power, without cable?
Right.
I mean, you don't lose water service that often. And so it's easy for us people to take us for granted, but at the same time, I have the health of this community in the palm of my hand. Mm-hmm. If we do something wrong, if we mess up, we hurt thousands of people. We're not like the grocery store where we can recall romaine lettuce. You know, once the water leaves the treatment plant, we're done. So we can't second guess. And we are connected to every home, business, tourism, bourbon, baking, baseball bats. We're connected all around. So it's an easy story to tell because I have a connection to everything that happens in this city.
Well, instead of any of those sort of warm personal stories, tell us just some cold, calculating information about the corporate structure. Explain to people, you know, how the water company, for example, might be different than LG&E or different than the public works department. You know, what are you
we
exactly?
Are a
how do
very
you work?
Unique breed. We are the only water utility in America with a setup like this. So we were chartered by the state of Kentucky in 1854 as a private company, and we sold shares of stock for $100. So in 1854, water was free from a well, why would you buy stock in the Louisville Water Company? I think you drank bourbon, you didn't drink water. So the only people who really bought stock were people that you might recognize with last names of Speed and Belknap.
Okay.
And the city of Louisville bought some shares of stock as well. So we had a really tough time getting started because the Civil War happened. We weren't selling shares of stock. So by 1906, the city comes in, buys all of the outstanding shares of stock, the original shares of stock, and suddenly the city of Louisville is the only stockholder of a private company, the Louisville Water Company.
I just want to interject, like, do you know who what city leader took that initiative? Was it a certain mayor or someone else who had the vision to come in and do that? I feel like we never hear about that person or those people.
You know, that's a really good question. I have to go back. I should have brought my history book with me for Louisville Water.
Well, I'll stick a pin in it and come back.
All right. But
I'm curious.
I'm going to go back to that. So now the city owns all of our stock. So we are not a true city agency. We're quasi, I guess you could say. But we operate like we're a private company, but with public interest in mind. So what does that mean for all of us? So every year at the Louisville Water Company, half of our profit after all the expenses goes back into the infrastructure, taking care of the plants and the pipes. The other half goes to the city in the form of a dividend. The city also benefits from free water service. We take care of 24,000 public fire hydrants. We try to provide some of the best service we can. And it's an interesting setup. The interesting thing is nobody else in the United States has a setup like we have.
Hmm.
And from what I understand from the legal opinions, we really could not be recreated.
So are you telling me that we are the only city in America that actually owns its own water company?
As a private private company with all of the shares of stock.
So there are some other public water works.
Yeah, so you have municipal water companies. Like the city would be a municipal entity, but not a private company like Louisville Water.
Now, do most cities in America have municipal water works, or do most cities in America, you know, pay a private sector, you know, Kentucky Water Company or
something else like that for
their service, like the same way that we pay LG&E, a private sector company, for electricity.
So there are some very large private water companies in America. American Water would be one. Veolia would be another one. You have municipal districts. So like the city of Bowling Green, that's a municipal. You have water, power, sewer all together. In Kentucky, you have a lot of small districts and they're called rural water districts. So Kentucky has over 400 water entities in the state providing service. So they're everything from small, like the Hardin County Water District, the city of Shelbyville, Bowling Green, Kentucky American in Lexington, to the Louisville Water Company. It's very much of a hybrid.
Okay. Are the municipal, I know you might not be an expert in all of these, but are the municipal owned companies or the municipal districts, like the one you mentioned that controls the water, the power, and the sewage, are they able to be sort of entrepreneurial and grow with a profit motive the same way that the Louisville Water Company is, or do they have sort of a more limited ability to?
Well, I think they're probably limited in some of the things they can do. I don't know that I would say. I think, you know, that's the challenge with any water entity, because there's this whole balancing act with ratepayer dollars, and you know, but at the same time, you're trying to elevate the value of water. You're trying to take care of the infrastructure. You're trying to be good stewards and provide good rates and good economic development incentives. For us, it's a little bit easier with our setup. For a municipal that might be balancing other needs with sewer, power, light altogether, it could be a little tricky.
So how many employees do you have? Yeah. And is your board of directors appointed by the mayor? How does that work?
Yeah. So Louisville Water has 465 employees. I like to say we have 465 ambassadors for Louisville Water.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor here in Louisville, Greg Fisher, appoints our board, approved by Metro Council. So we have 6 members on our board. The mayor is an ex officio member.
Okay. And in terms of the size of the business that you do, you provide water to people that live in Jefferson County. What else do you do? Where else do you provide water?
Yeah, so we have a regional footprint. About 1 million people drink our water every day. So it's the city of Louisville and Jefferson County. It's also pretty much all of Hardin County, Bullitt County, parts of Shelby County, all of Spencer County, part of Nelson County, part of Oldham County, pretty soon part of Meade County.
Mm-hmm.
We also operate the water treatment plant at Fort Knox and at River Ridge across the Ohio River there.
And so you do about 175 or 200 million
in
revenue?
We produce, how much revenue? So revenue, we're roughly about 170 million revenue a year. We produce around 120 million gallons of drinking water a day. So
okay.
That's...
just for sort of comparison, you mentioned American Water and Verulia or some other
Veolia. Mm-hmm.
Okay. When those are massive companies. What kind of revenue are those? Multi-billion-dollar companies.
Yes, they're stock people. You can buy stock.
They're
in
publicly
those
traded companies.
Exactly,
and so they might supply water to cities all over the.
So
Midwest
if you
or
yes,
the West
there's
Coast
Kentucky American, Indiana American, Pennsylvania American. American Water has a footprint across the United States.
Okay, and have we ever been approached for a buyout or a takeover? I mean, how do
yeah,
we?
Yeah, so there
not
have,
that I would sell.
No, we hope not. There have been cases in the past where the idea has been floated. What if we sold the Louisville Water Company? I think our city leaders are very smart and wise to know.
I am against that.
That would be a one-time windfall for the city, and I think we have the best of both worlds right now.
What about vice versa? Have we ever been considering acquiring any other water companies? I think one of the things that's interesting is that, you know, from an entrepreneurial city standpoint, the water company is really our only vehicle. It's our only investment that we could use to continue to earn revenue.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the only, but to me, it's certainly unique.
So a lot of those counties I mentioned where we supply water have come through partnerships that we've created. So for example, I guess about 15 years ago, we started to work with Bullitt County to acquire some of the smaller water districts in Bullitt County. So now those are Louisville Water customers.
So when you say you acquire a water district, is it like a corporate merger where you're literally you're buying them out and incorporating them into your?
In some cases, it is. It could be that the water district just can no longer meet the needs, or maybe they just don't want to be in the business. Maybe they're having trouble keeping up with the system. We really view it as a partnership. So we would come in that case, you would buy the assets, but we'd use money to build up that system. Sometimes those rural districts, they really need some help with the infrastructure.
Sure.
Some of our partnerships, though, like with Hardin County Water District 1 and 2, they maintain the pipes that deliver the water, the meters, but they purchase the water from us. So we have a connection point where we're giving them Louisville water, and then it's their responsibility to get the water to their customers.
Gotcha.
So the water business can work in a variety of ways.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that from a revenue standpoint, regionalization is critically important for us as someone who lives in Louisville and for the Louisville Water Company. We have an abundant supply with the Ohio River. We have a gigantic supply.
Right.
We have excess capacity with our treatment plants. So we are in a position to help others.
And the more money that the Louisville Water Company makes, the better for the city of Louisville, right?
Right.
Because we get 50% of the dividend every year, which is roughly $20 million thereabouts every year.
Correct. And that's a key point for us.
And tell me if we get half and half is $20 million, tell me what that $40 million represents. It represents the everything minus your operating costs for the year?
Correct.
And you all take the other 50% and sink it right back into the business.
Which is very important for us because you hear a lot of talk nationally about the issues with infrastructure. Certainly, we have issues to address, but of not the magnitude that you'll see. And that's...
The Metropolitan Sewer District, for example, has a $4.2 billion critical infrastructure repair plan, and I think that doesn't even include another $1 billion that they need to spend on Morris Foreman. Do you know what your what is it? Tell me how much money. Is
so the other point of that put of that profit back in the infrastructure is that we're able to keep our debt extremely low. Couple hundred million, maybe it's not that much. We don't go out and issue debt that often.
Did you say a couple hundred million in long-term debt or a couple hundred million in terms of your
debt?
And what about the size of your long-term capital needs?
I'd have to go back and look at that. I would say, and you know what, I'd have to go back and pull up my capital plan.
Is there a plan that's equivalent to the?
So we have a 20-year capital plan.
Okay.
We forecast out 20 years. We also look at 5 years as well. And those are really important because you want to prioritize what those long-term needs are so that you know when you need to go borrow.
Mm-hmm.
You also want to make sure that you're not doing multiple capital projects at once that will impact a certain part of your service area. So those are critically important for us. So we do a facility plan, look at it every year, but update it every 5 years, and we forecast out 20.
And so how much of that long-term planning is not just maintenance and facilities planning, but real business planning? I mean, does the Louisville Water Company have a goal to grow its revenue to $500 million a year, for example?
Revenue growth is important to us. I wouldn't say that's priority.
It's not mission. it's not central to what you do.
No, it is part of what we do.
Should it be?
Well, I would say revenue is a part of our mission.
Should it be without just taxing Jefferson County rate payers more?
It's got to make sense. And why is revenue important for us? Let me go back to what we talked about with regionalization. If you looked at the amount of water that we sold in 2018, roughly 34 billion gallons, you have to go back to 1978 or so to find that same amount. Mm-hmm. Water sales are at their lowest point in 30 or 40 years. And we all should be very happy about that on one hand, because we're being good stewards of this resource. On the other hand, we have the same assets to take care of no matter how much water we sell in some cases. We have two treatment plants. We have 4,200 miles of main. And so there's a cost to that. So if you think about water sales being down, and you think about the way we produce revenue is to sell water.
Right.
One of the really important things for Louisville Water Company is to think outside the box. How else can we grow revenue?
Louisville Ice Company.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Ice is us, right?
Yeah. I'm serious. Can you do that? Have you ever done that?
We've actually toyed with that. And I'm not sure the profit margin is where we need it to
be. I would like to see it.
So that's why regionalization is really important, because it also helps to maintain low rates as well.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And I think that the thought about being entrepreneurial is exciting. Obviously, you know, we just had the news yesterday about the pension crisis that we're dealing with, which in turn triggers a financial crisis here. And we have to rethink the way that we, make money and spend money.
Right.
And the water company just seems to be that unique. I mean, let me ask this question. Yeah. This might said to people back at headquarters crazy. Is there any reason why, the city should only take 50% of the dividend? Should we take 70% of the dividend to help meet our budget needs every year? Or do you all need that 50%? You can't have a dime less. And talk about that. It's not a threat. I'm just wondering how that works.
Right. Well, I think we certainly would want to have a conversation with our owner, our stockholder, about that.
Okay.
There are certainly bond covenants to look at. There's certainly a charter to look at. But you are our stockholder.
But in terms of
owner,
long-term, I guess what I'm saying is, the city of Louisville does want you to make more revenue if you can do it in a way other than taxing our own ratepayers.
And I think that's an important point. I mean, I think we all recognize that the way Louisville Water produces revenue is by water sales. It's by you and me turning on the faucet.
Yeah.
But the one thing you said that I think is really important is we have a partnership with the city.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Mayor Fisher talks a lot about innovation and being entrepreneurs and not doing things the same. So we actually have a couple teams at Louisville Water right now that are looking at new lines of revenue, that are looking at inventions. What can we do that will not only potentially make some money, but are good for the city and are good for our customers. So, we've never acted like a traditional water company.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. Critically important moving forward, because the city has a lot of financial challenges. I think we know that other agencies in the city have a lot of financial challenges. So it's up to us to be good stewards. And like I say, think outside the box.
It sounds like we've talked about sort of two of the triple bottom line kind of issues, and you sort of alluded to another. You sort of said, you know, the way we make money is selling water. And, you know, the way that electric utilities make money is selling power. And there's a very clear issue about energy generation and renewable energy and the environmental impact of energy. Do we need to be as concerned about, like, is it a bad thing to sell more water? Is water just a renewable, infinite resource? Right. It seems that way when you say that there's this many billions and billions of gallons of water that just keep flowing. Do we need to be as concerned? Should we be as worried about conserving water as we are about conserving energy from an environmental standpoint?
I think we need to be concerned in this community about being good stewards of what we have. I have to tell you,
And I mean, certainly we need to be worried about keeping our water clean and pollutant free.
Right.
But in terms of just usage, the actual amounts of it. Mm-hmm. Is there the same environmental?
We don't have the same concerns here as we have in Texas, maybe in Georgia, California, when it comes to conservation.
Right.
Supply is not an issue here. Right. So that's not something we need to be concerned about. Now, that doesn't mean you should just let the faucet run. Right. You need to be good stewards. But I think in this community, a perfect example is I walk in today to do the podcast.
Yes.
And I was so happy to see what's sitting on the table.
Two clear glasses filled with Louisville tap.
Yeah. I mean, in this town, you don't need to buy bottled water. Right. There will always be a need for bottled water.
Did you ever used to sell bottled water, speaking
of
revenue?
We did not sell it, no. Okay. We used to put it in a bottle and hand it out, and we stopped. There will always be a need for bottled water in an emergency.
Yeah.
But I think we have a great product, and it tastes great, and it's, to me, so one of the things we're real keen on is being good stewards, not only of the product, how we deliver it, but just being smart about what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I have so many things I want to talk about. I feel like I could talk for 2 hours about this.
You see, you had no idea water would be this cool,
right? I know you all are involved,
right?
And I won't leave the other entrepreneurial aspects quite yet. I know you all are involved a little bit now in the bourbon tourism thing. You're having people drink Louisville water when they drink bourbon. You're making clear that our water helps make a bunch of the bourbon. Do you want to just talk a minute about that?
Yeah.
Because after you talk about that, I want to talk about some other potential tourism things that you might
are part of bourbonism, as Mayor Fisher likes to coin it. And it goes back to our history. Our earliest customers were distilleries. They were our best customers because they needed water for fire protection. When you actually came on a tour at Louisville Water in 1860, we served you bourbon on the tour. We don't do that anymore, so let's just be clear about that. But today, Louisville Water Company is part of 15 bourbon brands. There are 15 distilleries in our district. Some of the most popular bourbon brands use Louisville Water. We are critically important to the production of bourbon.
Right.
We are critically important to the taste. If you add a drop or an ice to your bourbon, and then social responsibility. So when I mentioned we're connected to everything in this city, we have an incredible partnership with the Kentucky Distillers Association now and with some individual distilleries like Michter's, for example, where we're telling our story. And why are we doing that? It's because we're trying to elevate the value of water and just really have a conversation. So I love being part of the bourbon industry right now.
That's great. Let me ask this question. It's sort of I'm starting to bring two points together. The Ohio River is at the source of our drinking water.
Absolutely, yes.
And isn't it true that the state of Kentucky or the city of Louisville, who owns the Ohio River? I thought I read that the Supreme Court determined once upon a time that the boundaries of the state of Kentucky go all the way over to the 100-year floodplain or something over in Indiana, and so all the way to the other side of the river is Kentucky.
I believe so, but don't quote me on that.
Okay, but I mean, we own the water. We're entitled to the water, however water law works. We can have as much of it as we want, right?
Right.
And the Ohio River is really a main part of your all's purview.
Oh, yes. 75 billion gallons a day go by us.
So have you ever thought of doing any sort of, we have a waterfront development corporation that's chartered to sort of manage and do work along the shore.
Right.
Have you all ever thought about getting more involved in some sort of tourism or effort that's actually in the river or with the river? Something out of the box?
Give me
an example.
So we've had some wild ideas and actually went down the path of looking at, do we create a water innovation center? Is there something on the river that becomes a tourism point?
A whitewater park.
It could be. Those were big ideas. I'm not saying we would never do them, but it's a balancing act with ratepayer dollars or how are they funded? Is that the best use of your ratepayer dollars? And what other big capital projects might outweigh those?
Right.
Eastern Parkway.
Sure, Okay, well, I mean, I know that...
But I like how you're thinking.
There's that amazing park, the River Heritage Conservancy, is working over on in southern Indiana, and Scott Martin, who's the executive director over there, told me, this is actually still really the city of Louisville. That water you're looking at over there, that's really still the city.
Right.
I had always fantasized, because you have, I think for most Louisvillians, you don't have any main... any main facilities in the Highlands or in District 8, but there's the Crescent Hill Reservoir that's so great to walk around, and occupies a huge space, and then the water tower.
With the museum,
right. I always imagined that you could do a nice big you could connect those two facilities by one of those, you know, you sit in the... You sit in
oh,
the,
like a trolley or a,
no,
above
up
air?
No, up in the air. You sit in one and it gives you the tour from one down the other right over Zorn Avenue, right? That, isn't that sort of the path right
that would
down
be,
from
yes,
one to the
that
other?
That would be a
connect.
Cool, yeah. Are you putting funding towards that?
Well, I don't know. I think we can figure out a business plan
for it. There you go.
But anyway, I'll leave my wild and crazy ideas. We, of course, want the Louisville Water Company to focus on what it does and what it does best. Yeah. I can't wrap us up without talking a little bit about One Water, the partnership with MSD and the Water Company. And that's because I think that it is a model that we need to revisit immediately in this community, whether that's one something else between Louisville Metro Government and I'm pretty obsessed with this, with Jefferson County Public Schools, for example, two big entities taking a look at where they might be able to have strategic partnerships and use their infrastructure better and their assets better. And, you know, they both have lots of buildings and they both deliver similar services. So One Water, which was the part, which was the initiative between the water company and MSD, to me is the model for how we do that a couple of other times, at least in this community. Can you talk a little bit about what that was, how successful it was or wasn't, and where we are with that?
Well, it's still ongoing. Okay. And so Louisville Water and MSD, we're not merging. We are not bringing the companies together. What we're doing is looking for opportunities where we can share services through an interlocal agreement. So for example, we have a fleet director that's helping to manage the fleet. We're looking at procurement, how we purchase things. I spend some of my time at MSD now helping to build a communications platform. We're looking at call center operations.
And I'll say that I know that MSD has done an increasingly better job on communications.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, good.
So shout out to them too.
Good.
And maybe that's for your help.
And so we're looking at what makes sense. Are there ways we can grow revenue together? Are there best practices that we can share on both ends? On both ends. So it is still an ongoing process.
What does it look like now? I know originally the mayor had appointed a committee of seven or eight people who studied it with some funding behind that for a year or so.
So right now we have a One Water Board, which includes two members from the MSD and the Louisville Water Board, and a chair of the board. Ellen Hessen is our current chair right now, the mayor's chief of staff.
And District 8 resident.
There you go. Then we also have an internal advisory group, and that's leadership team from both MSD and Louisville Water. And then we have employees who are part of shared services where they're spending some time at either organization. We have a new strategic plan for One Water that we just adopted last year that's really focused on, you'll like this, new revenue opportunities, new innovation opportunities, not so much cost avoidance, but cost opportunities and revenue opportunities.
Yeah.
And so I still think there is a lot of potential. Both Louisville Water and MSD have to be successful for Louisville to be successful. And I think this partnership has opened our eyes to that.
Well, I mean, I can just tell you, and, you know, I worked in Mayor Fisher's first campaign from day one. And I think from the beginning, he realized, and I've realized, if not then, certainly now, that the Louisville Water Company is a real standout in terms of this community's assets.
Oh, thank you.
And I really think a best practice and thought leader in so many ways, and we've touched on some of them today, and I think that the One Water model is something that, again, we really need to revisit in this community and in other potential partnerships. And I hope we start doing that immediately. And I hope that we continue to start to be entrepreneurial the same way that the water company is, and that we communicate the way the water company does, and that we reach the level of excellence in what we're doing in the products and service that we get from the Louisville Water Company. So,
well, it's all about just taking down that barrier, taking down the wall, and sitting down and having a conversation and learning about what we each do. And to me, that's the beauty of these types of partnerships. But both have to be willing to do that. And I love the idea of non-traditional partnerships as well. So I think you've hit on some good points.
I don't think we have a choice. And then finally, just a parting word. I don't know if you know this or not. We're doing this participatory budgeting project in District 8, where instead of me just spending the $100,000 in capital infrastructure funding I have every year, we've gone through a great process to let the public nominate different projects and figure out what we should do and what we should spend. And of the eight finalist projects, one of them, and a very popular one, was to put public drinking fountains throughout the Highlands, which I think would be a great
idea.
Voting will start mid-February, shortly after this podcast, go through mid-March. We'll tell everybody how to do that later and online and whatever. But there could be a real chance that we could have, I think there's $50,000 in the budget, and maybe we could work out some partnerships, or we could find some other money or something like that. But what, we could have 8 to 10 public drinking fountains across the Highlands. Is that something that if we put the money in place could be implemented within a year's time?
I think Louisville, yes, Louisville Water would be happy to talk with you about that. I mean, what a great way to provide a service to your residents, to elevate the brand of your neighborhood, of the water that we drink every day. And gosh, it would save you some money if you used that reusable bottle, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, so do you need me to help you with some advertising, voting up?
There's 8 great projects. That wasn't endorsed.
Well,
that wasn't an
that
personal endorsement for it.
That.
But the interest is there, and who knows? We'll see really soon if it's one of the winners.
We have a really cool district, so
thank
it
you.
Should be there.
Okay, well, we ran really long. So, Kelly Deering-Smith, thanks for spending your Friday with us.
Thank you.
And we will visit with you again.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to 8 More Miles, the Louisville Metro Council District 8 podcast. I'm Councilman Brandon Cohn. Please stay in touch with our office. Visit our website at www.tinyurl.com/cmcohnd8. And once you're there, please subscribe and stay informed to receive our biweekly e-newsletter.